I had the good fortune of being invited down to an area in Dallas County with the Dallas County Conservation Board. Now, typically in a non-pandemic year, this would have been another public event. And they're, like all of us, adapting to the current conditions at hand. And it was an opportunity in a safe manner outdoors to record, the philosophy, the presentations that are normally given. We were able to do it in a safe manner and have that to share with people. You might have noticed there may be an increased focus on the Native American community. President designated elect Mr. Biden has nominated Deb Haaland, which is a native woman from New Mexico, to head up the Department of the Interior. Now, this is a position that wouldn't have been too many years ago, even definitely 100 years ago. There was a different philosophy to working with our native community. And quite often it was simply dominating and kind of trying to eradicate. And in recent times, thanks to President Jimmy Carter in 1977, had a freedom of religion proclamation that allowed Native American to partake of their sacred ceremonies, which would include solstice activities. And then in the 1990s, there was an awareness by a lot of the Native community that a lot of their spiritual and sacred ways were being sequestered or denied to other cultures, meaning African American people and European, Caucasian people or Oriental people. I've heard the quote said that we had our native red ways as red Americans, but there were black Americans and white Americans and yellow Americans that just so happened to be the poor colors of their directions of the black to the west and white to the north and yellow to the east and red in the south. And they opened it up in the 1990s, and it's in that transition now, but with a Secretary of the Interior designate, I think they'll quite likely there'll be a greater acceptance. So yesterday we went down to an area that Chris Adkins is the environmental educating coordinator for the Dallas County Conservation Board, and he kind of gives a background on a special area at a special site. And I guess I was really taken by the significance of this not being an isolated out in the hinterland of Dallas County. It's right by Redfield, Iowa. And it was kind of brought to mind that a lot of the Native American communities were along the rivers or in very popular areas. The solstice area, we're going to learn about a clock, and that is how they aligned the stones to
Okay.
designate where the sun rises and sets.
All right, so let's listen in.
And
yeah, so this is called the Hanging Rock Conservation Area, and it is one of the gifts that REAP has given our state. This money was from the Resource Enhancement Protection Act that needs to be fully funded, and but with the monies that were there, it allowed Dallas County to be competitive to purchase this land, and back in the early 90s, and without that money, this would be McMansion. I mean, as beautiful as this is, somebody with a deep pocket would have bought this. It'd be private land. And all of these stories that go back to the first stories of this place and the first peoples wouldn't be shared by the community. They would be have lost by just an individual here and stay off of my land. So it's good that it goes back to that idea that it's everyone's land. And so when the story of this astronomical clock and why we're here celebrating the sunrise at winter solstice, our longest day, goes back to when this area was then being developed after it was purchased, we invited a friend of both of us, Mark Edwards, who at that point worked for the DNR and was involved with their trails development, to ask him to come out and give us some guidance of what might be a good layout for this area. And when he got out and looked across this landscape, he said, "Wow, look at these big vistas that you have. The western horizon is so visible, the eastern." He said, "When you get a view like this," he said, "I think there was a clock here." And so he talked with one of our ecosystem natural resource people, Larry Golett, who's now the director over at Johnson County. And he said, "Larry, when you guys were preparing this soil for the planting of reconstructed prairie to replace the row crops that had been pushed in here on these ridges," he said, "did you find any stones?" And Larry said, "Yeah, over on that hill, there were a bunch of small stones." And he said, "You moved them?" And Larry said, "Well, yeah." He said, "Well, I think there was a clock." And by his encouragement, we said, "Could we relearn that story? Could we change our perception of time?" And so what's been interesting for me, Pat, is being involved in that process then of trying to relearn this story and start coming here on solstices and equinoxes and observing sunrise and sunset and inviting the public in, is that it's not only an ancient story, but it's a relevant story in our worlds as told by the probably the most brilliant mind of our time, Albert Einstein. And it's been a blessing for me because I'm chronologically challenged, and the idea of mechanical clocks and mechanized time and time being an artifact of humans, this reminds you that time is a celestial waltz between the sun and the earth, and to be part of that. But Einstein's words, what he's always said that ties to this, he said, "Space and time are modes by which we think, not conditions by which we live." And so space and time, that's a mode by which we inhabit a place and a presence there. It's not a condition by which we live. So to be a slave to a ticking piece of mechanical human construct, and it drives our lives, it's been such a gift to give away that and say time now becomes real time.
So let's back up a bit to the term clock. In a landscape sense, early people would align stones to direct their focus to the sunrise or the sunset.
So what first peoples were doing was obviously being able to be connected to the events of the world around them and the circle of seasons. It was important for them to be able to honor and recognize those days. So their clock, as it were, started with us, where we took three stones, set one in the middle of the circle, and then I stood on the west side and Larry stood on the east, and on that first equinox sunrise, we aligned those three stones in a line pointing at that morning sunrise, and then when we stepped around to the other side, that evening sunset were marked by those stones. And so then we waited from the March day of equal day and equal night to the longest day, the summer solstice, and we came back with two more stones, and we aligned one marking the east and the west, and as you viewed it, up came the sun. And then we came back, and come September with fall equinox, well, what do you know? This works because it came up exactly on our equinox stones, and then today we put two more stones down to mark the sunrise and sunset of the winter solstice. And so therein we captured that old awareness, that old stepping inside the story and experiencing that memory. And it's become a blessing that we've shared for over 20 years now with people joining us here. Every equinox and every solstice, we have a celebration here. And we've had people over the years that have come joined us and marveled at what we are doing and enjoyed the connection to real time. But what's really been fun, Pat, then is that oftentimes I'll get elders that'll come. They've retired from the demands on their time, and they can be here at sunrise or sunset. And it's been fun in that I've had a number of ladies who that were elders, and they'd say, "Christopher, you know, I've been doing this my whole life. I can tell you exactly where the sun comes through my kitchen window and where the shadows in spring are, where the shadows in summer. So I've been doing this. I didn't realize it." And it goes back to a tenet in education that I've learned from First Peoples, and that's, you're not teaching anybody anything here, Chris. You're only helping them to remember something they've forgotten. And that's a great example. Those farm wives were remembering something that wasn't really conscious, but when you pointed it out with these sunrises and sunsets here, they said, "Huh, yeah, I know this." And then there would be people who would come, Pat, to a couple years of solstices and equinoxes with me, and then I wouldn't see them at the mornings anymore. And I'd run into them in the community, and I'd say, "Hey, Pat, I missed you at solstice." And they say, "Ah, I don't need to come anymore. I built a clock in my own backyard, so I'm doing this on my land." And so getting people to be connected to that realness has been a huge gift that Mark Edwards started all those years ago when he said, "I think you guys need to think about bringing that clock back. There was one here."
So what are some of the beliefs derived from our longest night?
Well, what's interesting for me is that, you know, most people don't even, you know, you ask somebody, "Where's the sun come up in the morning?" And they'll say, "East." And you'll tell them, "Well, you're right, 2 days out of the year. That's the equinox. That's when it comes up dead east." And anybody that's commuting east and west knows, you know, that's that time of year where you go, "Wow, that sun's right in my eyes." We've got this Jeffersonian grid of roads in Iowa that run due east and west and north and south. And so what they don't realize is that from that day when the sun is at east at 90 degree on the azimuth, today it's at 121. It's moved 31 degrees down the horizon. And if this were your first rodeo, one of the things you would have noticed, Pat, is, well, the sun keeps moving to the south. It keeps coming up later and setting earlier and getting lower and lower in the sky each day at noon. If this pattern continues, we all know the sun gives us life. We're all going to die. And so one reason that this was celebrated was that the elders who knew this pattern could tell everyone else, "No, today is the day, solstice. Sol means sun. Stis means to stand. This is the day the sun stood still. It went that far south, and it stopped and it stood still, and then it will begin its journey back north. And by March, it will hit 90 degrees again, due east. And by June, it'll gone 30-plus degrees north of that for the summer solstice." But the idea that, you know, that was a celebration that we are starting a new cycle, and it's not a straight line, it's a circle of these seasons, and that it, you're reminded of that standing under the sky and watching the movements of the stars and the sun. And but to realize, yeah, this is a promise being made too, that it's not going to go any shorter. We at this point celebrate. This is where it stops. It gets no shorter than this. And now the sun will start getting longer.
And this is the time that autumn changes into winter. And people might think now's a good time to become spiritual, because obviously the sun did not continue to go away or leave us.
So, yeah, there's a lot of those connections. And it's fun to come and experience this. You know, somebody taught everybody this in sixth grade earth science. We all once knew this, but we never really knew it because it was all book learning. But to stand out either here joining us or in your backyard and start making observations of those movements is part of that journey. And what you're going to learn, Pat, is what you need to learn. So it's a different lesson for all of us. Luckily, I've had a chance to share it with a lot of good spirits like you being here with us. One of them, that a story that is shows you that something is going on here that is very spiritual. We had a former board member for Dallas County Conservation who always wished that she could come join us, but again, her job requirements, she couldn't really get here. So when she retired, she said, I'm going to come, and I'd always wanted to be there at sunrise with you. So she was here, and it was equinox, and we were waiting to watch the sun come up, and we were looking east as the horizon was glowing. And she goes, oh, look, here comes a bird flying right at us. I think it's an eagle. And I said, oh, Gene, I think you're romanticizing. That might be a crow at best, a lone Canada goose. And as it approached us closer, right synchronous with the sun kissing the horizon, that eagle came straight over our head, straight over the clock, and it was an eagle. And she laughed. She said, boy, you're good. That happens every time, right? And I said, no, Gene, it's never happened before. And you've never been here before. So what are you being invited to learn here, sister? What was that? She said, I don't know. I'll come back at solstice. So she was here summer solstice. And we kind of held our breath. And son of a gun, that next 3 months later, an eagle flew over us again at sunrise. And it's interesting. I said 3 months. What most people don't understand is months is a derivative of put an extra O back in. Month used to mean moons. And our calendar used to be based on moon cycles. And that's why, leap year is here. I remember distinctly as a second grader, and it was leap year, and the teacher telling us, oh, children, today is February 29th, and it's leap year. And I raised my hand, and I said, who's making this up? How can you have a calendar when you can just make up a day and throw it in? I think that calendar is all rigged. And what's beautiful here is, Pat, is there's no addition of a day. We don't have to readjust our calendar. It is linked not to human construct, but to the earth and the sun and the relationship of the cosmos about us. So Gene came back, fall equinox, eagle, winter equinox, eagle. And on those three succeeding days, the hair was standing up on the back of your neck. You were thinking, oh, this can't really happen. And it's never happened again. But those four days of that circle around the sun, there was something there that I'm still, as we said, you're saying, what about the spirituality and what are the lessons here? That's sometimes you get gifted and you think, I haven't figured this one out yet. So I'm still trying to grasp that. But it's that shows you that we're not alone here, and that there are other beings that are celebrating this with us, and magical place to be. But I hope some of your listeners will think, I'm not going to go to Dallas County. You don't have to. Find a place in your world that you can mark this and start observing it. You'll be amazed at how it changes the way you approach space and time, and also the connections and the feelings you have, and how much you'll start paying attention then to all the chronology of events throughout a given circle.
Which is a pretty good testing for a pandemic.
And why that's something very apropos that you would say that, Pat, is today was the culmination. We have a Prairie Awakening celebration every September that you've been a part of, and we've talked on your radio about it. This year, in August, we got together with our Native Council, principally Irma Wilson-White and Robbie Knuth, and we said, we're not going to be able to do our celebration this year, but we don't want to just act like, well, we're doing nothing. What could we do? And Irma, in her guidance, she said, what everyone needs now is healing. And so she shared, and you can go to Dallas County's website and watch a video of Irma. She shared the traditional history of prayer ties, and then she did a tutorial on how to make a prayer tie. And she said, this year, Prayer Awakening is going to be a time of healing, and we're inviting you to, with yellow cloth, the color of healing, tie up your seven prayer ties, bring them to Keene, individually celebrate by hanging those in a cedar, and those will hang until winter solstice, and then those prayer ties will be taken down with tradition and taken to the fire that is lit to celebrate the new circle at winter solstice, and all those prayer ties will be offered up, and we burnt them this morning. And so you're right, you know, in this time of a pandemic and so much need for us to find a way to heal, this was a time where all of those traditions came back together. And not only did we celebrate old soul telling us, you can trust me, I will stay with you, we can also celebrate, you know, that your prayers for healing are being carried out across this landscape and listened to, and if we did it right, answered. Happy winter to you too, brother.